Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
I'm so looking forward to today's program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. We get together each weekday at this time here on Connecting Faith. And today we want to connect with Chai Ling, who was a key student leader back in the 1989 Tiananmen Square movement. We'll hear a little bit more about her story. It's an incredible journey, and she's written about it in a new book just coming out called A Heart for Freedom. And we have actually several copies of that we'll be giving away this hour. So I hope that you can just grab your lunch and find a nice place to maybe just sit out in the car if you're there and just listen in and hear this remarkable story of a young dissident, her daring escape, and her quest to free China's daughters. Looking forward to spending some time here on Connecting Faith as we talk about A Heart for Freedom. It was over 20 years ago. It was June 1989. China's government ordered the military to crush a weeks-long student-led protest centered in Tiananmen Square, killing hundreds, maybe more. And Chai Ling was there, and they got sort of caught up in it. We want to hear her story and bring her into the conversation. Chai Ling, thank you so much for taking some time today and for recounting your story and for the great work that you're doing now. I'm looking forward to the visit today.
Well, thank you so much.
So you were in the middle of you were going to school at the time, and you weren't necessarily looking to be a student protester, I don't think, right? As the story, you got sort of caught up in the movement. So can you take us back that 21, 22 years now? The protests started, as I recall from reading, it was because the death of one of the leaders in the Chinese government, right?
Yes, correct. He was one of the reformer leaders. His name is Hu Yaobang, and he really wanted China to have three reforms: political reform, economical, and spiritual. But later on, the last leader only wanted economic reform. That's what we see today. And I was a graduate student at that time, and just turned 23 on the day of the passing of that leader. I started by bringing some water and food to the square, and eventually led into the square to become leader for the student. And my whole life was changed ever since. I become a dissident and had escaped from China from the massive manhunt. Eventually was put in a cargo box inside a boat to come out from China. And, now I'm in America.
You weren't planning really to be a dissident, though, right? I mean, just as you tell the story, you ended up being in some ways kind of what the administrator or the secretary for a small group of people that sort of assume leadership, because they're really it was just a mass of students, right, from a number of universities that have gotten together.
Yes, it was massive amount of students. So at the beginning, I was just helping the students. And eventually, at one point, I really had to make that decision. Do I want to be here to be, actually a wife for another young man at that time I was married to? Or I'm doing it because I'm a citizen of China. So I had to, do a soul searching at that moment. And then there's a transformation taking place after that. I really felt I need to do what I'm called to do. And after the transformation, the students really responded to my speech for hunger strike. And then the next thing we knew, we all end up at Tiananmen Square having this massive hunger strike while Gorbachev came to visit Beijing's leader at China. So geopolitically, that's a really dangerous move for America because, they were in the Cold War time. So thousands of international journalists were brought in, and Beijing Tiananmen Square became the focal point of what is happening you know, the massive storm, both geopolitically, economically, and also spiritually. So we were just happened to be in that moment and being in that place. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to write this book, but couldn't for the past 22 years. And I felt like I was just in the middle of this massive force, but I don't know how to describe it. I felt him. I felt it. But only until I came to Jesus less than 2 years ago, so I can call him by name. I can see his spirit, and my eyes opened up to see China again and to know what his plan for China and for all of us.
I want to hear a little bit more about that story, that life transformation. But as you said, you escaped from China and were on the run. You came to the U.S., went to school. In fact, I have several degrees and were president CEO of a significant company doing business consulting, a number of things. But it was a few years after Tiananmen, the initial uprising, that I know New York Times and others suggested that maybe you bore some responsibility because you escaped and others didn't. Talk about how that experience made you feel.
Yeah, I came to this country, this beautiful country, really embraced me and welcomed me, and I went to Princeton, got my master's in public affairs and international relations, and then I went on to Boston to, to work and also to eventually finish degree at Harvard Business School. It was around that time that this whole changing tide from Western media to, to want to find a new angle to reporting about the Tiananmen massacre, because it's kind of get tiring, repeated after 5 years, where this basically saying the government massacred its own people, and so there's this misuse words and all that, and taking out of context, trying to basically saying, oh, actually, students provoked the massacre, which is just not true. That was really painful. But now, when I come to Jesus, I realize God used all evil for good. He basically was taking out all the idols in my eyes, one by one. And, at Tiananmen, we're dying for the freedom speech. We're dying for the free media. And so I worship American media. And that was the moment that I realized, wow, American media is not, that's not God. And then I also worshiped my fellowship, with my friends, students from Tiananmen Square. Those incidents really divide our group. Some rose up to defend me. Some, took an opportunity to send Joseph down to the well. make me just feel really, I opened again saying, wow, if we went through life death, we still can't secure this friendship. And in fellowship, what else is true? What else we can rely on? There's another big false god is, it's the same power I experienced at a Tiananmen Square. It's the power of people. I was so amazed. I thought there were the people that encouraged me through my 10-month journey and hiding. But when when the whole attack comes, I noticed the people can forget things so quickly, and they're really fickle. And that was so shocking to me. So that's also part of the reason why I was told Jesus would know what I did and will be faithful to me and would cherish my coming to him. That broke my heart. And I realized there is a faithful God who know all things, know all heart, will always be here, will be fair to us, will be with us all the way to the end. So, God just allowed all the false God to fall apart, and eventually revealed Himself to me.
And you recount in the book about how God continued to bring people of faith across your path from early on in your student days and then as you came in the U.S. But as you said, you had a lot of sort of idols. You were focused on a lot of other things, so being a successful business person, all those a champion for freedom. So talk about at what point was it where you realized that Jesus could make a difference in your life, that your life wasn't complete without him.
Yeah, it was interesting. Many people, still in that kind of journey, they felt like if I get a good education, I'll be fine. If I get a good, good career, I'll be fine. If I get a good family, we'll be fine. God was really merciful with me. He just gave me all. I, from any other people's point of view, I was the poster child of immigrants, came to this country, rose to the top, and succeeded in every way. Have a great family, three beautiful children, you know, business, entrepreneur, have all these degrees, and have all these, you know, credentials, Nobel Peace Prize nominee, all that stuff. So, and but I still felt empty, and I still felt there's something is missing, and I don't know what it is. I did not have peace. In November 2009, when I went to a congressional hearing held by Congressman Chris Smith against China's one-child policy, and my eyes was opened up, and it made me realize, wow, all those years I was trying to overcome the trauma and the suffering of the Tiananmen massacre. What I didn't realize was there is a massacre taking place every single day and every single hour, and that the victims are the most vulnerable members of the society. Those are children and babies and unborn children. And it was a story told by Wu Jian, who was 5 months pregnant, was found up in her hiding place, was forced to go through abortion, and they, you know, insert needles into her belly and kill the baby inside, and then open her body up and just cut the baby to pieces. And it was at that moment, it was the most heartbreaking moment in my life after a very long, long time. And God really used that to wake me up, make me realize there's this huge evil who can kill 400 million lives under China's one-child policy in the past 30 years, but yet nobody knows much about it, nor are doing anything, except very few faithful, like, you know, Congressman Chris Smith and the other true heroes. And so after that, I felt like, you know, all my life I was made to save China, and I realized how little, how humble, how small I was. I could not. I also learned about the power of Jesus. He's a true God and true Savior. And so I just said, like, look, you know, Jesus, if you can really save China, I'll give you my life. And the beautiful thing is, little did I know, you know, the first one to be saved is me and it's my family's. And now I'm just living in His power and His grace, and life is so much more complete and beautiful.
And we should just clarify, because you were there with Congressman Smith. You were translating for this other woman, right? And she was telling her story, right?
Yes, you know, yes, it's all in the book. And yeah, this woman, Zhang Jing, she has a heart for the women and girls in China. And she did some investigative story. It was wonderful. And in that story, I realized, oh my gosh, all these poor women, when they got pregnant, they had to run to hide, and they're being hunted down. They're being hauled back and going through this, you know, 9,600 people, you know, massive slaughter for forced abortions and forced sterilizations. You know, those women have to, you know, every month to go to the family planning police, you know, to drop their pants and to show they had a period or something. Otherwise, they would be, you know, fined or hunted down or chased. It's humiliating. It's a modern-day slavery, slavery against all women and mothers in China. And so my heart was broken, even though at that time I felt like I needed focus and concentrate to finish this book, but I felt like I need to go help her to translate. And so it was another thing, just similar when I went to bring water and food and do the right thing. God sort of used that opportunity to lead me to something even bigger of His mission and His plan.
We want to talk more about that plan, because that testimony, that time of understanding this massacre that happens every day was very close to home for you. And we're going to just invite you to tell a bit more about that story in just a minute. I want to encourage you to stay tuned as we talk with Chai Ling. It's an amazing story. She was a key student leader in the 1989 Tiananmen Square movement. And today she serves as founder and president and COO of Zanzibar Inc. It's a leading higher education software services provider. And she is also founder of All Girls Allowed, allgirlsallowed.org, an organization dedicated to restoring life, value, and dignity to girls and mothers and revealing the injustice of China's one-child policy. We'll talk more about that and hear more of Chai Ling's story in just a moment. By the way, you want to join the conversation. We have some copies of the books to give away. We'll do it by email today. If you have a question and you've got a moment, you can just send us contact information and a question. You can do that by going to our website. It's faithradionet.com. faithradionet.com, and click on the Connecting Faith page. There's a little link right there that you can email your questions today, and we'll We'll add them into the program, and more coming up in just a minute.
Shakespeare wrote in the first act of Hamlet, "This above all, to thine own self be true." In other words, Shakespeare was saying that if a person has a right relationship with self, there will be a right relationship with others. Jesus said it this way, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Your relationship with yourself is unique in that it lasts for a lifetime. Other relationships can end or be broken off. You can outlive your parents, you can divorce a spouse, but you can't end the relationship with yourself. It's when we come to terms with who we are and how God made us that we can be all that we were meant to be. Accepting our race, our gender, our bodies, and our intelligence as God's design for us forms the basis for us to have healthy, satisfying relationships with others.
This has been a Faith Minute, a ministry of Leif Anderson and Wooddale Church. Learn more on our website, faithminute.fm.
Twenty past the hour, you're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. My guest today is Chai Ling, and we're talking about her story. It's A Heart for Freedom, new book just out from Tyndale. It's a dramatic story of Chai Ling as a commander-in-chief of the student protesters at Tiananmen Square, witness to the massacre of thousands of Chinese civilians, and risking imprisonment and possible death for her leadership role in the student democracy movement. She was on the run in China for 10 months while being hunted by the authorities. Eventually escaped to the U.S., completed her education at Princeton and Harvard, found true love, and became a highly successful entrepreneur. But there's more to the story. In fact, Chai Ling, as you tell the story, you fell in love and were married, but there was some babies in the midst of that and led to several abortions. Talk a little bit about that a part of your life and how that's impacted you today in your mission with All Girls Aloud.
Yeah, like, you know, last Thursday I did a testifying at Congress this time as myself and not as translator, others. I did as interpreter as for the other two witnesses as well. This is the time I was first able to share my own personal story. It took a journey for me to come to realization and come to terms with what that really means. So it turned out when we mourn about the 400 million lives has taken under the one-child policy, and I just only recently realized that three of them are mine. I was pregnant when I was 18, and my father sort of took me to a secret place, and so I wouldn't be recognized. And so we had the abortion for the baby. And then later on, the second time was with my boyfriend's father, took us to the clinic. And the third time, I sort of knew what I was need to do, and I went by myself with the boyfriend. Then later on, become my first husband. And this is how in China, you know, this is the third phase under the one-child policy, the faith of the victims. The first kind of are the forced abortion, like Wu Juan. The second kind are the women who are married, but their in-laws oppressing them to try to give birth to a son instead of a baby girl. So they either do abortions against the baby girls or abandon the baby girls right after birth or kill the baby girls. But the third type of phases are people like me and the young women who are not married, because without marriage certificate, there will be no birth control. Birth certificate. With no birth certificate, there is no babies. And so, every year right now is ongoing. Tens of millions of young women are going through these coerced abortions every day, and completely imprisoned in such a deep shame, because the culture itself condemns these kind of premarital pregnancies. So very few women so far now are able to really speak out in public about this kind of massive crimes that is going on. And it's only me recently, as recent as Thursday, to be able to share that in public. And it was at that moment when I testify about the one-child policy, I was no longer testify as the human rights fighter against the Chinese leaders. I basically testifying saying, you know, I'm just at the center as Deng Xiaoping, who ordered the massacre and also who ordered the one-child policy for ISIN too, because I also had a fourth abortion that was in Paris, even though I came to freedom, but because of circumstances and being a really bad marital situation, which is in my book, I talked about that, and I did the only thing I knew what to do, that is abortion again. So it was in that sense, we're all sinners in front of God, but the good news is I've been redeemed, has been set free. I was able to share these dark secrets into the light, and God had bound up my broken heart, and he healed me and has continued to heal me through this journey and this process. And so my hope is to all those women who suffered forced abortions, they someday will come to light and they will be healed. And for those, for the, you know, family planning policemen who brutalize women and mothers every day, they will be found by God and brought to repentance, and they will be set free as well. And for the leaders in China who today are continue advocating for the one-child policy, I pray for God to find them too, to save them and bring them to true freedom.
You know, it took courage to be in the midst of a student movement facing the Chinese government and the military in 1989, but I'm sure that it took great courage to testify before our House committee about your personal experience. That was no easy thing to do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your understanding. It was hard when I had to take off all the praise and identity the world gave to me, my degrees, my success, my prizes, to just replace what God sees us and what, you know, that is the true identity, we're sinners. It was not easy. And and we are only able to do it because knowing that God has saved us and renewed us and make us blameless and holy in his sight. So that's the freedom where I'm enjoying, and I am hoping more could come to share that freedom as well.
You know, with a culture that sort of is there, a shame-based sort of part to it, I would assume that just kind of feeds into the additional pain of this one-child policy. I mean, as onerous as that is, if that policy wasn't there, it would still be, abortions would be prevalent, wouldn't they?
China had 5 million abortions before the one-child policy. Today is between 60 million to 23, possibly 8 million. So, yes, that policy alone...
23 million?
Abortion pills has been dispensed. There was a number given by New York Times. So it's a massive increase. Definitely ending this one-child policy will be a huge help. And also to really help women lift up those despair and the condemnation, it would be another big help that for them truly to know how much God loves them and how Jesus had went on the cross to suffer so much, both shame and humiliation and pain for us. And so we can be set free, we can be redeemed, we can be reunited with God. Yeah, like, you know, my little courage is no comparison to what Jesus had done at those times and while he was all alone, you know, very few understand him. So the real, our Savior has a true courage and true love and true compassion for all of us.
I was thinking how we get so kind of, here in the church West, we get so accustomed to the message of the gospel, and just as you've shared it again, the way that it so powerfully connects with those that are in pain and in shame, and how God put that all on Jesus on our behalf. It's a powerful reminder again of new life in Christ and what that really means. A Heart for Freedom is the book that we're referencing. I would recommend it to you. In fact, we've got some copies we'll be giving away, and I encourage you to just shoot us an email, and you can get in the drawing. That way we'll pick out some names at the end of the hour. And you can also include a question, if you'd like, for my guest, Chai Ling. Chai Ling is the author of the book, A Heart for Freedom. She was a commander-in-chief of the student protesters in Tiananmen Square, escaped to the U.S., became a successful business person, and God has done a powerful work in her life. And she is now leading an organization called All Girls Aloud, dedicated to restoring life, value, and dignity to girls and mothers, revealing the injustice of China's one-child policy. We want to talk a little bit more about the work of All Girls Aloud and how it's expanded beyond China as well, and how we can be involved and be of help in this frontline battle. You can check with us on email. It's 877, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH, or email is faithradionet.com, and click on the Connecting Faith page. There's an email link there. 877-933-2484 is our phone number. We'll continue in a couple minutes. Happy to have the opportunity today to visit with Chai Ling and talk about her story. She's recounted it powerfully in the book called A Heart for Freedom. And it's a remarkable journey of a young dissident, her daring escape and the quest to free China's daughters, and the outreach now called All Girls Aloud. Chai Ling was a key student leader back in the Tiananmen Square movement. She came to the U.S., eventually escaped from China, and has several degrees, was a business entrepreneur, a consultant, has a foundation, and was nominated a couple times for a Nobel Peace Prize. Through all that, God continued to work in her life, and she came to faith here just not too long ago, and God continues to use her in a mighty way. And I want to talk a little bit about All Girls Aloud. But Chai Ling, just maybe back to your story a bit, because, you know, given the, as you talk about, you know, the subjugation of women in China, how did you rise above those cultural norms, even to become a leader as a student, but then, you know, even today?
I mean, I ask this question all the time. I don't know I have the right answer, but I just feel like if, you know, with God, all things are possible. So it's possible because China has such a terrible culture against women, and therefore God is determined to raise a woman leader. So I felt like as a young child, I was given favors. And when I prayed to God, make me an exceptional child, even though I did not know him, by just using that word God, and he made that happen. And I also felt like, you know, the desire to help the people, it was not from me. It was given by something bigger. And, you know, the Tiananmen event and one thing led to another could only happen because his hand was in it. So what was any individual's point of, you know, responsibility? And I guess when that happens, you know, to be able to overcome fear, to step out, to speak out, to follow what is being called later in the front is something that we must do. That's what I has sort of worked in my life over again, as to overcome those fears. And recently I was given a scripture saying, you know, trust your God with all your heart, all your might, do not lean on your own understandings. And it's so true. When we are walking in the into the unknown, that's all we have to do to rely on. And for me, before I know God, that was guided by conscience to say, is this the right thing to do? And just move forward with that. Now I know God, and there's more, you know, I can pray to him, listen to him, have devotion time with him. And so he sent people to, he sent angels and sent prayer warriors, sent people in front of me to teach me and lead me what he wants me to do. Even right before this congressional testimony, he actually prepared my heart or to be ready to share the story. It was powerful. I was at a conference called The Gathering, and there was this lady sitting next to me. She was Ann Baylor. And out of no reason, she just started telling me her own story to come to light. And it was such a powerful story, I just started bawling. And she did not know what's going to happen to me. And I said, I knew exactly what she's talking to, but I just need to push. I need that courage to, you know, just egg it on. So.
You know, it was interesting that, you know, God continued to sort of bring believers across your path. And in fact, your husband was, you know, by at least your account in the book, you know, gently sort of led you along. Didn't seem like there was a lot of sort of pressure to make some intellectual decision that it eventually came to a heart decision for you, right? That heart of freedom needed freedom from sin. First, most foremost in all, wouldn't it?
Yes, I do believe that God called us to love, to nurture, to witness, not to pressure, not to judge. So that's exactly what my husband has done for me, is to love me and support me. And we did joke around saying, you know, sometimes bold witness is also necessary. As he was being very gentle with me, but little did I know I need a baseball bat to hit over me with the head, you know, by the book called, you know, Heavenly Man. So different people worked differently, and I'm trying to witness to several people right now, including my ex-husband right now. He read the book, and he's struggling with this so much. I just encourage your listeners to pray for him. His name is Feng, F-E-N-G. As the book is being launched, he's going to go through a lot of struggle. He's open. We had prayers that he will give Jesus a try. We have not done the sinner's prayers, but so God, just, you know, please and work your mighty ways. And so, yeah.
God has used your skill set and your gifting to bring you to this point of leading all girls aloud, a successful business person, the MBA from Harvard, MLA in public affairs, Princeton University, BA from Beijing University. So there's a lot of investment there into bringing you to this place. And so just talk about, you know, how All Girls Aloud, I guess, is set up, and then what some of the important parts of it are, and what do we need to know about this oftentimes silent reality?
Yes, All Girls Aloud is trying to restore life, value, dignity to women and mothers in China. So each day in China right now, there are over 35,000 forced and coerced abortions taking place every day. There are 500 women commit suicide. There are over 1 million baby girls abandoned every year. And for every 6 girls pregnant, for 6 babies, you know, 6 babies are scheduled to be born, the number 6 baby girl will not make to life, and the number 6 baby boy will grow up find no wives. So China today has over 37 million single men called single branches that will not bear fruit. And what they do is they're creating evil. They're, you know, became the driver of major sex trafficking, child bride trafficking. In one city of China, has 3 million residents, and we discovered that potentially up to 600,000 people are a result of child trafficking. Basically, the father family would go by purchasing girl from the traffickers and to make sure raise her up to marry their own son. So so these are a lot of sinful acts taking place in China. That's what we do. We have a program to expose the story by sharing the story, but also to rescue. We have a field rescue effort by giving $240 to a mother who just delivered a baby girl to encourage her and to lift her head up from the neighbors and to let her know that God and all of us cherish her baby girls. So should she and cherish her. That gave her so much dignity that has proven to be very fruitful. And if we able to getting more funding to support that, we believe we can help end the genocide in China, you know, soon. And the second program is supporting orphans, mostly girls. A third program is reunite trafficked children. And the fourth program is defending prosecuted and are going to be aborted, you know, go through forced abortion mothers. So this kind of work, both kind of taking place in churches. There's American pastors going to China, teaching the truth about life and the sanctity of life, And that is creating a huge wave in the China's house churches. Right now, we're told that his teachings being spread into house church network, which has, you know, potentially 20 million members. So that is really necessary. I encourage missionaries and, you know, just teachers and pastors to teach that to churches in China, and also to share with people about the truth of life. The Chinese people never heard. I'm translating my books into Chinese version. They don't even have the words pro-life, pro-choice. There is just no. They don't understand what that means. So I'm not saying we're exporting our division, our fight, our conflicts, but at least to have this dialogue, have this discussion is necessary to wake up so many people's eyes. So we encourage people to join our rescue program as well. We do have a third program, is celebrating. And celebrating is really celebrating God's victory through every day, saving lives and one by one. In May, we were told that this woman is being held down to go through a forced abortion. And we, you know, it was at 5 p.m. Everybody's walking out of work, and, you know, I was late getting finished up work. And so we did not know what to do. We said, okay, let's just pray and send the urgent prayer letters. And we prayed and fervently. And 48 hours later, she was released. The official was terrified to put their name next to the forced abortion execution order. And so that baby and the mother is saved, and we're looking forward to hear her story of delivering and holding up her babies. So God can make such a big difference that everybody can be part of this program and this, be part of this movement, God's movement to redeem China to Him, God's movement to, you know, to make China into a Jesus-following nation. That will bring amazing blessing and peace to the rest of the world.
Even so, Lord Jesus, come. We pray for that day. Talk a bit more about the consequences of this policy as it spreads to China and India. There's a huge disparity of girls and men and women, right? It's just going to continue to grow unless this policy is reversed.
Exactly. So one-child policy is the China-only policy right now, but it's being encouraged to spread out to India, Africa, and some other countries. So there's really danger to spreading this policy. Under that, gender side becomes a major problem, and you know, people start taking matter into their own hand, killing baby girls to getting their one son. And in India, they have the same problem. That is mostly driven by culture. Girls are not valued because they pay dowry to marry her out. So we saw in this upcoming documentary called It's a Girl, and they filmed two mothers. One killed two of her own baby girls right after birth. Another mother killed eight of her own baby girls right after birth. And so that is a massive problem taking place. It is estimated there are over 160 million girls are missing, more accurately are dead, as a result of this massive genocide. It is believed when a world is having this many excessive men running around and not knowing God, not fear God, it will lead to war, global war. And that's what happened during the time before the Japanese war and also before the Nazi war. So this is no longer a saying like we Americans don't need to worry about that because that's far away than China, India. Because if we chose not to do anything, and we'll also be subject to impact and had to pay a huge price. And, you know, just imagine if America had to fight for another third war, and every single day there would be billions of dollars going out to defend our liberty, defend our peace, defend our children, defend our women. So, but we can stop this before it going to worse. We can pray. We can join the All Girls Loud movement. We can, we can send missionaries there. We can just teach the world how much we cherish girls, because they are also made in the image of God. But most importantly, to teach them, or share with them about the true good news of how powerful this God is and what amazing creator He is and how much He loves us by sacrificing His only Son, and how glorious life can be once we come to know Him and obey His command.
The website is allgirlsallowed.org. We'll put a link up on our website as well. It's faithradionet.com. And go to the Connecting Faith show page, and we'll You can get the link there as well. And when you're there, feel free to just drop us an email. I want to register just to be in the drawing for several copies of Chai Ling's book. It's a powerful story. You'll want to get a copy of it and read it and pass it on to a friend. It's A Heart for Freedom. And Chai Ling tells the story of as a commander-in-chief of the student protesters at Tiananmen Square and witness to the massacre of thousands of Chinese civilians, but there's another massacre that happens every day with China's one-child policy and the forced abortions. And she's telling her story. I want to talk in just a moment about why women are so devalued and to get Chai's perspective on that in just a moment. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
With a Love Language Minute, I'm Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Judith Wallerstein has studied the topic of divorce for more than 20 years. Here are her conclusions. Quote, people want to believe that divorce will relieve all their stresses. Back we go to square one and begin our lives anew. But divorce does not wipe the slate clean. Few adults anticipate actually what lies ahead when they decide to divorce. Life is almost always more arduous and more complicated than they expect. End of quote. I know that if you are in a deeply troubled marriage, you may feel that you have only two options, stay in the marriage and be miserable, or divorce and hope for something better. There is a third alternative. It is what I call reality living. It's the theme of my book, Desperate Marriages. I'm Dr. Gary Chapman.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, 12 minutes before the hour, and today our topic is A Heart for Freedom. It's the journey of a young dissident, her daring escape, and her quest to free China's daughters. Chai Ling is our guest telling her story. She's president and founder and CEO of Zanzibar Inc. It's a leading higher education software service provider. She is also founder of All Girls Aloud, an organization dedicated to restoring life, value, and dignity to girls and mothers, revealing the injustice of China's one-child policy. And Charling, I was interested in, we talked about, you do some, I guess, maybe scholarships, or you help support women to be able to keep their children, but can they keep a child if they can pay for it, or do they still need a certificate to be able to have a child, more than one child?
Under China's one-child policy, the family need to have a birth permit to be able to have a child. So if they keep the baby girl outside the birth permit, they would suffer so many consequences. If they are caught during the pregnancy, they will be forcefully aborted. But if they were able to give birth to the baby after, you know, basically hiding around, and they likely would have to pay a huge amount of fines. So most of these people are really poor. 460 million Chinese people live under $2 a day. They are, you know, below the poverty lines. Most people know, heard about China through media, thought China is huge, it's wealthy. That's not a reality. And so $240 can really help a mother to buy a baby formula to the baby because they're most of the time working so hard they don't have breast milk. Or buy some clothes and just being, you know, it's a decent amount, you know, financial compensation. We had another expert who did his own economic modeling, you know, in his independent of ours, had also believed that with money 1.4 times of the income that could potentially help ending the gender side that could offset the negative economic impact by having a girl to bring them equal. So that's a program that we have supported over 500 families last year. We're hoping to raise enough money to support another 5,000 families this year. And 95% of these mothers who participate in the program saying next time when they have a, you know, baby, no matter if it's baby girl or boy, they will keep the baby. And so it's a very effective program. Today, we're actually suggesting China, you know, U.S. giving a fund to UN Population Fund. The Republican side want to cut funding off, and the Democrats want to keep it. We are suggesting whether we could make that fund, instead of to participating in the forced abortions, birth controls, you know, we'd like to suggest that to become used as a fund that can receive the baby girls to end genocide. We heard the, you know, from the consulate that the Japanese government is interested in participating, and we're hoping the Chinese government would join the effort and to match the fund by 10 to 1. If we can really accomplish that, and I think in 1 year, at least we can, you know, end China's genocide to stop that 37 million number continue to grow. So that's the kind of effort we're pushing for, and we appreciate prayers and supports, and, you know, all of you, your readers, write to their congresspeople.
Well, I just was going to ask, is there a place where government policy can make it? Obviously, I hope we're being motivated to pray, as I have been just hearing, visiting with you today. But is there a government role in this from outside of China to use some influence to see something change there at the government level?
Yes, absolutely. China's government is not as powerful as we made them think. They actually is losing control every single day. And if we stand firm in our ground, our value, they will come to respect and admire and eventually learn. There's a strong desire among the Chinese leadership. They are all, they know they have a bankrupt ideology, and they are looking for faith. And that's why they brought back the statue of Confucius on Tiananmen Square right in front of Mao's memorial. It's so ironic that totally, basically, they themselves declare the death of communism, and they're looking for a new faith that could hold the country together and something they can believe has a true salvation. So that gave us encouragement and invitation to share our values. Yes, if the U.S. government can stand firm on sending aid to China to encourage, you know, baby shower programs, that will be a huge support to lift the girls and mothers up from their despair. You know, we're also pushing for a bill called H.R. 2121, the Democracy Act, to deny the leaders of China who continue to practicing one-child policy, you know, deny their right to come to U.S., and that will really send them a strong message. We have more and more Congress people signing on that bill, H.R. 2121. Through the hearing last Thursday, the congressmen were debating and discussing. They actually decided to sponsor a bill that a code of conduct for business people, for business companies in China doing business in there, to allow them to uphold the human rights values and to force and facilitating and encouraging changes to lift those mothers and women up. You know, one of the witnesses was a textile worker in the early, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and she suffered 5 forced abortions. None of those abortions were practiced down with anesthesia. So it was purely torture. One of the congressmen was asking, you know, am I wearing the tie that came from that factory? So we're making those investigations, but we knew that, you know, we knew every single day of these kind of, you know, forced and coerced abortions are taking place in China, every part of China, including those factories producing goods that is being sold in American soil. So it's very important for America truly, truly contributing to end this massive crime against humanity. Each can contribute our part. So I'm going to a CEO forum this Thursday or Friday, and which is a group of Christian CEOs. I also encourage prayers for God to open their heart to hear this message, to move them to action as well.
Chia-Ling, tell me, we just only have about 2 minutes left, but why are women so and girls so devalued?
It's an excellent question, and the very truth is anybody are devalued because God created us to be equal and to be cherished and to be loved. And it's an evil, you blind people's eyes to try to condemn, prosecute, torture a certain group of the community. You know, right now it's girls and mothers, and but also including anybody who's being labeled enemy of state, political distance, handicapped people, and the elders and all that. So there's a culture in China made artificially do not value girls. China had a tradition to bind women's feet, break the bones, bend the toes underneath the feet to bind it with cloth and to make saying that was a beautiful thing. That tradition went on for 960 years. But God ended once he started sending missionaries going there, and together with some of the intellectuals in China who were believers, they were able to create a tradition and a culture that ended that over, almost, 1,000 years of history and tradition. I believe we can also end a genocide once for all when people truly know, who created us, who provided for us, and what is, how much he cherished each and every one of us.
Charling, we pray God's blessing on you and for courage and for clarity and just for wisdom to know what to do. And as you just discovered Proverbs 3 again, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and that we might be challenged today just from your discussion, that there's a part that we can play in exposing the truth about the one-child policy and restore life, value, and dignity to girls and mothers. AllGirlsAllowed.org is the website, AllGirlsAllowed.org. And you've heard Chiling's story. It's recounted in a brand-new book just out called A Heart for Freedom, published by Tyndale. And remember to pray for Chiling and for her former husband, Feng, right? And pray that he might discover the truth, the light that Chai Ling has seen as well. Chai Ling, thank you so much for taking some time today. It's just been a blessing to visit with you.
Well, thank you so much. You've been such a blessing to all of us, and we're so encouraged. Thank you. We pray God continue to honor you and glorify your message and to raise up your station, have so many leaders and listeners to be open and to receiving the great good news that you're sharing. Thank you so much for your great work.
You can find out more about Chai Ling on the website at allgirlsallowed.org. And again, we got some copies of the book. I'd love to give it away. You want to drop us a note, we'll do an email drawing on that. It's a story that you just want to read. It's powerful. And you can do that by going to our website at faithradionet.com, faithradionet.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there. Just give us your contact information, and we'll draw up some winners there at the end of the day. The book's called A Heart for Freedom, and it's from Chai Ling, published by Tyndale. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about Mean Girls All Growing Up. Stephanie Kay is in to talk with Haley DeMarco. That's on tomorrow's Connecting Faith program at noon. We'll see you then.